You may have heard of us, but you might not know Bank First is a community bank that has no fee ATM access, interest and perks earning checking accounts. With online and mobile banking, mortgages for every stage of life, and modern business banking for businesses, small and big. We keep it all together to put you first. Do you bank with us? You should. Bank First is an equal housing lender and a member FDIC.
Well, welcome to Sunday Coffee. I'm Bart Gregory along with Charlie Winfield, and we're in the Farm Bureau studios here in downtown Starkville. Farm Bureau, go with the home team at Farm Bureau. You can check them out at favorites.com all across the state of Mississippi, home, life, auto, whatever you need in the insurance world. Our friends at Farm Bureau, and this is Sunday Coffee brought to you by our friends at Strange Brew Coffee House. Strange Brew located on Highway 12 and Spring Street here in Starkville. They got churn and spoon ice cream as well. I've got my blueberry-flavored coffee this morning ready to go for a women's basketball broadcast later today. Charlie, I hope you are as ready as I am.
So I have a couple of things to update you on.
Okay.
Number one, I was in Charlotte this week, and we have some name confusion because you always come out and you talk about it being Sunday Coffee, but you don't ever clarify that Sunday Coffee is part of the Out of Left Field franchise. All right, so it's the Out of Left Field podcast. This is the Sunday Coffee edition. That's how someone asked me to explain it.
Okay.
Because they said they tell people to go look for the Sunday Coffee, because that's how it becomes known, because a lot of people hear us more for that. And so they tell people, go look for Sunday Coffee, and they say, you know, I got some guy in Sheboygan, you know, brewing beans down in his basement who's got a coffee podcast. That's not what we're looking for. So that's number one. The second thing I have to update you on is that you were called out a little bit.
Was I?
Yes.
I like being called out.
And not just a little bit, if we're going to be candid. It got to, I think Bart gets way too excited talking about his blueberry coffee. And not only does he get way too excited, we don't actually think he drinks it.
That's product marketing.
We think that Bart, he just steers into it too much.
No,
that,
I don't.
That he is a fraud, that he's a phony, that what he's doing, he's got like some Folgers. He's throwing in a Keurig back there.
Nope.
He's not drinking the real thing, because otherwise he couldn't possibly be that excited. Then one guy at the table said, you know what, it sounded kind of bad to me, and I tried it, and now I love it. And so,
do you want to taste what's in my cup?
No, I do not want to drink after you this morning, particularly if it has been adulterated. So those were my two things. The other thing that came out of my trip to Charlotte is that that's not a bad town, but it is not a town that I wanted to stay in quite as long as I did without some more basketball to watch.
Short-lived trip there. You know, they call it uptown instead of downtown. Did you make that mistake?
You know, I don't think I ever had to reference it.
Okay.
But it was kind of up from where we were staying. We stayed at the Sheraton Hotel, which was plenty nice. The team was there not as long as I wanted them to be. That's the one thing. We talked about this. Playing that first game, playing as early as we did, it almost feels like it was over before it started. Now, had you won and not played again to 5 o'clock yesterday, it would have been pretty cool to hang out and hit up a sports bar, you know, watch a few other games. But as it stood, I didn't watch anything.
Well, I was going to go that route. I think we brought this up last week about how, you know, the great thing about playing the first game of the day is if you win, man, you can just sit back and just watch ball games and know, hey, you know, we took care of our business. If you lose, you may not watch a lick of it. And I'm going to be quite honest with you, Charlie. I haven't watched much basketball since Thursday morning.
No.
I did watch. I will have to say this. Before, and I guess we need to get in here and kind of post-mortem this basketball season. And that's kind of what to talk about that and the baseball going to A&M this past week. But I did watch some of the Auburn game. And here's the thing that I took from it, because we were a little bit of apologists for Bruce Pearl last week.
I felt dirty when I left here. I was like, what did I do?
Yeah, but okay. But they're in the SEC tournament. They had a player, and I'm not going to call the player's name, who got under the skin of some of our guys, had everybody in an uproar. Guys that don't even like to fight were ready to fight that dude. And then you go to the NCAA tournament, and you get knocked out of the tournament because you've got a guy who's so far out of control, he gets an ejection 3 minutes deep in the game. They lost that game. They lost a run in the NCAA tournament because they didn't rein a guy in. That let that sink in. They lost because they did not rein a guy in.
I had some interest reading Auburn Twitter this morning about these people posting, you can't blame him. You know, this was a momentary lapse. This wasn't a big deal. There was nothing momentary about this. And I think one of the things that makes Bruce Pearl the recruiter he is you want to play for him. And one of the dangers, though, of being a player's coach, and he's an odd mix of being a hard guy and a passionate guy and a player's coach, but one of the dangers is if you don't maintain some order and you don't sit a guy now and then and you don't put an end to some things now and then, it isn't going to end well. And you're right. I mean, yeah, that's a different ball game if he's in there. And you could have seen it coming. You should have seen it coming. And Pearl and his staff didn't. Or maybe they did. Maybe they couldn't control it. It's just the time bomb you have to live with, right? I mean, we've seen plenty of athletes. Well, we all know.
No, I mean, we've seen plenty of players that no matter what you try to do to get them to do the right thing, they're going to hit Instagram. They're going to hit Twitter.
Well, that was the other thing. You know, he hit Twitter about 3 minutes after being ejected.
Oh, really?
Did you know that?
No, I didn't. I mean, that's, you know, it's can't glass houses and everything because anyway.
All right, but I think while we touch on basketball, before we get into kind of a postmortem on our season, I want to know what's going on with the SEC right now. What is happening across our league? And, again, I haven't watched a ton. I watched our game, obviously. And I watched our game, and what jumped out at me was that game felt like it was officiated and played differently than games we had been playing during the season. And somebody who has watched more basketball would have to comment on this for me. But something is happening to our SEC teams. Are these games being officiated differently? Is that what's going on? And if they are, does Greg Sankey and the guys over in the conference office, when they're not trying to figure out how to solve world hunger, do they need to be sitting down and saying, all right, look, we got to have a conversation about how games are going to be called in this league? And then, even if you say, yes, we do, what power do you have to actually change it?
Well, that's what I was going to go, because in basketball, you know, in football, you have SEC officials. In baseball, those guys umpire – They umpire two or three different leagues. For the most part, when you get into conference play, they're SEC only. In basketball, it's a little bit different. I mean, you talked about Joe Lindsay last week. I mean, Joe Lindsay may be in here on a Wednesday night, and he may be in Winston-Salem at Wake Forest the next night. Basketball is just such a different animal. It's more regionalized with their officiating. I don't know what the answer is, because there may be something to that, because, man, the first half – now, we have said – that they have let the league – in the league this year, they let them get away with a little bit more, but at the rim. That game the other day was a full-fledged, we ain't calling anything unless, you know, we got cops with us to haul you away.
It reminded me a little bit of the Auburn game that we played in the SEC tournament for part of the game.
Right.
Meaning in the Auburn game, they called nothing, and then they called everything. And then they went back to calling nothing. And so it was a weird game that was officiated. But I thought a few things jumped out at me. First of all, Michigan State had some guards who were grown men. I mean, they had some dudes. And I remember when they came out on the floor, like, these dudes are big, tough guys. And this turns into a physical game. We're going to have a mess.
Physical with guards. Because that's not who we are. We're physical at the four. You know, we're physical at the three. But guard play is not where we are strong suited for physicality.
And it was there. It was there. But at the end of the day, it's a little bit different game if you can jump up and make some shots. And we got to have a few more guys that can jump up and make some shots.
Well, did you get the feeling that, and I know we've talked about it all year long, about, you know, what you want to do during the regular season is stay away from the 8-9 game. And you kind of get the feel – even though, I mean, we got blown out in the 8-9 game, so we did not play well. It was an interesting matchup for us, because there are not many teams in the country that are going to out-physical our basketball team, and Michigan State was one of them. Northwestern tried to be that way, too, early in the year, and we kind of were able to match that. But don't you get the feel that this was a run that may have been lost in the last month of the season, or, you know, in January when you may have lost a game where you shouldn't have. Now, hey, we played ourselves into it. We finally got it. I mean, we were on the outside, probably edge of the bubble before winning two in the SEC tournament. So, I mean, got to be proud to get there. But looking at this team, what it had coming back, feeling like, you know, you had a good chance to be a solid basketball team, this run was probably hampered by what you did a couple of months ago.
No, seeding matters. Seeding matters. And you could have been in a better position had you pulled it off against Kentucky. Had you pulled it out against Alabama? There's so many what-ifs going into the season. Had you not lost to Southern? Had you not laid the egg at Georgia Tech? But I think, too, you got to go back and you look, and at some level, there were some flaws with this team, and efforts were made to fix those. That's the other problem is this. It's real easy to say, let's go in the portal and get a piece. Let's go get this. Let's go get that. But like we saw at Arkansas this year, sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes you're going to bring in some guys and it's not going to work. Sometimes running it back doesn't work. Sometimes you got to do a mix of both. Sometimes it does. I mean, it's a crapshoot, and we're playing in a brand new era. And, man, sometimes bringing in guys makes a difference. Sometimes it doesn't.
Well, I was going to bring that up because when you look around the country and people are trying to figure out right now why they were beaten and why they're no longer playing basketball, and you have some teams saying, we hit the transfer portal too much. We didn't bring in guys to develop. We didn't bring in those freshmen who were really good. And then you look at Kentucky, who, what are they saying right now? Well, they brought in too many freshmen. Cal needs to hit the transfer portal a little bit too much. Nobody's figured out the recipe. That's the bad thing right now. I don't think anybody has really figured out the recipe to success, because what does Cal have is he has a young basketball team that is very, very athletic. There are going to be more pros on that basketball team 3 years from now. But right now, they're just not gelled and not very good at times. And so you look at us, I mean, is it going and getting, you know, three big-time high school athletes? Is it going and getting three big-time guys in the portal? There's just not enough direction to know exactly what the recipe is for that success.
Well, what I'd say is I think a lot of those recipes can work, but you still have to have luck. Something still has to go your way. Look at the 8-9 game. Nebraska feels pretty good about where they are. A&M beats them by 15. Now A&M gets Houston today. Are they going to make it to week two? And if not, are they going to be happy? Wisconsin's a 5-seed, gets run out of the building by James Madison. Gets beat by double figures, and they're sitting around today saying, man, what do we do, right? Texas Tech gets beat by 13 by NC State, so they're sitting around right now saying, and Texas Tech was a 6 playing an 11. Kentucky, a 3 playing a 14. Florida, a 7 playing a 10. You could go all the way through the list, but there are a lot of people right now sitting around saying, man, what do we do wrong? You know, like Auburn. Yeah, beat by Yale, for God's sakes.
A team that had to, you know, squeak out a win against Brown in the championship game. But, hey, what you just said, isn't that the reason we love basketball? Isn't that the reason we love the basketball tournament? Because it's always been this way, but it has not been this, you know, has not been this many. You know, last year we had FAU, Florida Atlantic, and San Diego. San Diego State played for the national championship last year. Is this just a dawning of an era where – you're just going to have, if you get into the tournament, it's literally a free-for-all.
You know, I think that's true. You look at these teams who have won, was it 3 9 seeds won? So only 1 8 seed.
And I go back and say, you know, and just to completely contradict myself about whether this game was lost 2 months ago. I mean, we ended up with an 8-9 game against paired up against a 1 seed. It was probably the weakest 1 seed. So it's not like we were going to get a whole lot better.
Well, and maybe a better
seed on
better
front,
seed
on
to
the
get
front
to
end.
The second yeah. week. But, hey, look, Kansas nearly lost to Samford. In fact, they got a
should
garbage call at the end of the game that helped them win that. So, all that to say, I think I was a little surprised to see South Carolina get blown out by Oregon. But I think league-wide right now, you got to look around and say, man, what's going on? What's going on when, you know, you're running out of teams who are left? We'll see what Alabama does today. Tennessee's made it to the Sweet 16. Alabama has a chance. And then you know, you don't really feel like A&M's going to beat Houston. Where's that game being played? Is that in Memphis?
That's Memphis.
So, I don't know. We'll see.
All right, so looking at next year, you know, the first thing that on everybody's mind is Josh Hubbard.
Yeah.
And, okay, what's – because, you know, I can guarantee – I guarantee you his phone hadn't been silent.
No, but here's how grounded Josh Hubbard is. And if you were around Charlotte, if you had a chance to interact with Jason Hubbard, you know, maybe sit down and visit for a while, what you would know is that the Hubbards love Mississippi State. They love Chris Jans. And one of the things that makes Josh Hubbard special is we've talked about this a lot. Chris Jans is a tough guy to play for. He is a, you know, now and then you need a day off kind of guy, right? He's going to be direct. He's going to be intense. One of the great things about Josh Hubbard is that he played for a really good, in fact, a Hall of Fame high school coach. But it wasn't the Bruce Pearl, let's roll some balls. And that's unfair to say about Pearl, but it wasn't the Rick Barnes, let's throw a ball out there. And
not Nate Oates.
Yeah, it certainly is not Nate Oates. I mean, Coach DeWeese will communicate clearly. He is a tough guy to play for when you're playing in eighth grade like Josh was. And it made him better and it made it stronger. And it is a family who and a kid who understands this guy's trying to make me better and he can make me better. So I really think Josh Hubbard is going to be a make a big jump even for next year and look forward to seeing him do that.
Okay, let me ask this question.
By the way, I got to add one thing. On Friday when he got back to town, he spent his day at his old high school playing with kids, visiting with kids in his state gear, so feel
good for
pretty
him.
Good.
Good for him. I guess I should put that as 1B. I guess 1A is, hey, this is the time of year. When you start looking around the country, I mean, Chris Jans' name has popped out a couple of times.
It has. And what I tell people about that is, and you know this really well, because I think back all the time, though, when you told me, one of the things that has really stuck with me this past week is you telling me when you first started broadcasting and Jim Ellis saying to you, hey, listen, never put a coach ahead of the program. Because I think that was the general phrase.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I think we all become guilty of a little bit around here is you will really like these people, right? I mean, you really care about these people, and you want them to be here. You want them to care about this place at the same level you do. But at the end of the day, too, if you – and this is me. I'm not even putting this on – this is not Chris Jan's words or Chris Lamont or anybody – Jeff Lebby, whoever, right? But if you are a coach at Mississippi State or you're a coach at Kentucky, you're a coach at anywhere, right? And you look around and what are you hearing? Well, you got a football coach that lasted 10 months. People were ready to get rid of it. You know, it becomes a business in a hurry when things don't go well. And I always say that there's two kinds of coaches, the ones you want to extend and the ones you want to fire. There are very few coaches that the crowd in today's world is saying, I mean, you know, he's all right. You know, there's no lukewarm opinion on a coach. And so if I were a college coach and you were my AD, Bart, I would make you sweat every chance I have because I know the first time I go get blown out in a game that I shouldn't in the NCAA tournament, you know, if I'm Bruce Pearl and I hadn't got my guy under control, what's your AD going to be saying? Hey, brother, you better get your program under control, right? And so I have no knowledge whatsoever about where things stand with him, but I don't get the sense. The one thing I will say is I read all the time people like, well, Chris Jans doesn't like it there. His wife hates it there. That's just not true. That's just – it's just flat not true.
Well, I guess where I was going is while we feel the percentages are high – that, you know, you're not going to lose a basketball coach. I would hope you wouldn't because I think he does. The marriage between he and his family in Starkville has been a really good marriage. But that's the first thing that has to be settled. When you start looking at going out to the transfer portal and trying to keep guys here and go out and build a team, first things first is that's the first thing, is you have to make sure that you're solid at the top. And then Josh Hubbard is 1B. And then you build around that.
Well, and then I think pretty quickly in the discussion has to be Cam Matthews. And there's a lot of things that you can say about Cam. He ain't going to make a living in the mid-range, right? I mean,
Or the three ball.
Yeah, it's not who he is. But at the same time, you know, our buddy Marcus Grant, who's working with us, we can volunteer his services. Because that was a guy, a pretty tall guy, who could shoot the three ball. Like, Cam, what are you doing this week, man? Hang out. But, you know, you look at a Cam Matthews. Because as much as everybody wants to go in the portal, and, you know, you get these people, keep Hubbard and nobody else matters. At some point, you know, with Chris, even though Chris Jans is a guy who would tell you, hey, I'm building a team. I'm not building a program. Every year we got to go build a new team. We got to go build a new team. It certainly helps to build that team if you got a few people in the dressing room who understands when he says X, here's what he means. When he makes that face, here's what he's really telling you. You know, there's some value to having been around. I know, for example, when you say, I mean this in the finest Christian way possible, no offense whatsoever, that you were about to really offend somebody, right? And I know the phrases that are going to come out when what follows is complete unadulterated garbage. It helps to have some people in that room who've been there, right?
It does. I like to create caveats is what I try to do. And you start thinking about knowns. Cam Matthews is going to be one of your better players. He's also one of your harder workers. And anytime you have one of your hardest workers as one of your better players, you want that in your program. And so he's definitely 2A. If Josh is 1B, he's 2A.
No, he has to be. And then I think there become a lot of interesting discussions because at that point what you have to do is figure out, you know, there are some people you would love to have back on certain terms, right, and under certain circumstances. Like you would love, and I'm not going to call any names, but there are some guys you'd say, man, I'd love to have that guy back if he's going to understand that we're probably going to go try to sign somebody else to play a spot. You know, I'd love to have this guy back if it's 12 minutes. And so all that has to shake out. Now, who those people and how that all shakes out, I can assure you those discussions and meetings are taking place right now, and it'll all sort itself out. I was laughing. Somebody today, though, you know, was talking, sent me a message about, hey, man, why aren't we in on this guy? I'm like, man, number one, we just got back. Number two, there's over 700 players in the portal, and there's going to be a lot more. I mean, because a lot of these schools are still playing, but you think nobody from A&M's going in, nobody from James Madison, nobody from Oakland? Yeah, they're
– And you got to pick the right ones. There are reasons some kids are in the portal, right? I mean, it may not be basketball. There may be other issues. So that's the whole thing. But it is a big time, an important time, for you and the fine friends at the Bulldog Initiative. And I tell you what, Charlie, I begin to see more and more Bulldog Initiative gear. If I go to a baseball game, I'll see a Bulldog Initiative hat. And I know where they got it from. They got it from our good friends at Maroon & Company. Maroon & Company in the Cotton Mill Marketplace, right next to Chick-fil-A, close to campus. Wyatt Craig and his great staff at Maroon & Company, they'll get you set up with that Bulldog Initiative gear, but also Mississippi State gear of any kind, any logo that you want. Got the quarter zips, got the sweatshirts, got the mugs, whatever you need, Bulldog gear. And you can go to maroonandco.com, and type in the code NIL10. They'll give you a 10% discount. 5% comes back to the Bulldog Initiative. You can also give that code in the store. But our good friends at Maroon & Company. We're also brought to you by our friends at Cannon Ford of Starkville. Cannon Ford, if you're in the market for a new or used car, go by and see our friends Chris Keene and his fine staff. They got the service center, the body shop. If you've gotten dinged up on Highway 12, trying to cross over the medians in the middle of town, that's illegal to do. Saw that the other day. Somebody just jumped over one of the curbs, turned and started going the other way. And if you create a wreck and you need to fix your car, our good friends at Cannon Ford of Starkville. Also, they're open on Saturdays now in the service center if you need to spray.
That's
it.
That's a really dire circumstance to try to put in your commercial.
No, I was just going to say,
hey, if you're blatantly at fault for trying to do illegal things and you need somebody to help you, I mean, that's more like a DUI lawyer. How about we say if someone else is trying to take the turn and they run into you?
Well, that guy the other day.
Through no fault of your own.
Yeah, I'm telling you,
call
man,
us at 666.
People are nuts now, man. I'm telling you. And so our good friends at Cannon Ford of Starkville, if you need an oil change, they can get you taken care of. Cannon Ford of Starkville, just east of Starkville on Highway 182. All right, Charlie, baseball.
If you had told me that we would be 3-3 after two series of SEC play.
You gave me four last week or 2 weeks ago.
I gave you four out of nine.
Four out of nine. You said if you're four out of four and five after 3 weeks, would you take it? I was like, sign me up.
Yeah.
And so we got to get one in Gainesville, and I'll have my number.
Yeah, and I'll be happy.
So Hunter Hines continues to hit the ball well. Had the big three-run home run in the game on Friday. So you play a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. Lose the game on Thursday. You come back on Friday. I thought the big thing of the weekend was Cal Steven was able to locate slider yesterday or Friday. So he was able to throw two pitches. Against LSU, he just didn't have the slider working. If you look back to the Thursday game, you know, Evan Sierra gives up a home run early in that game. I thought that it was a slider that just didn't break. Nolan Stevens, we've talked about how much we like Nolan Stevens. He gives up a grand slam, and, you know, A&M gets all those runs right there in the middle of the game. And then yesterday, and I know, hey, Charlie, I mean, there are sometimes we come in here and we're not very solid. So there are sometimes as a broadcaster that you have the games where you just you can't get all your words and thoughts out, and sometimes you just have bad days. Everybody has a bad day at the office. And there are times that that you're just not good. But the whole key to life is being able to get away from that, is being able to follow it up and do something positive and how you learn from your mistakes. And so you just kind of wonder if
– This, I can hear it. You've got this tone going that there is going to be some underhanded – jab at someone. I see where this is going.
Well, I mean, I just wanted
to go ahead and
I want to see how Morris Hodges handles the adversity.
There we go.
And so because he had a tough day at the ballpark yesterday, strike zone was it was a little, and I understand the first train of thought would be, well, I mean, hey, if he's giving two or three balls off the inside corner, won't you just have a pitcher throw two or three balls off the corner? You got to adjust your pitch. Let me tell you this. We don't have anybody that can recreate 92 with a cut fastball across the inside corner to right-handed hitters that's a left-handed pitcher. We don't have anybody to recreate that. Sometimes as a batter, you just don't see a certain pitch, and sometimes as an umpire, you just don't see a certain pitch. Yesterday, there was some difficulty, not only at the plate, but behind the plate, well, behind the catcher, of recognizing a strike on a cut fastball that was on the inside corner to a right-handed hitter. Is that as nice as I can possibly put it?
Here's what we don't know. We have not seen the TrackMan data, and I would like to see it.
And
the
I didn't
camera
like the,
angle wasn't great.
I didn't think the camera angle was very good at all.
Now, we took a lot of called third strikes yesterday, which tells me that because we're not a team that has been up there just, you know, striking out haphazardly. I mean, we struck out looking nine times. That tells me something is amiss. Or that we were facing a really elite pitcher, and it could be both.
Yeah, I thought the guy was, he was pretty good. I mean, he had everything working. And hey, A&M's a pretty good baseball team. They're good. They're a top 10 team. And so losing two out of three on the road. Now you come back this week, you got to go to Samford on Tuesday night. Samford is a ballpark, man, that is tough to play, and that's a hitter's park. And we've seen that before. I mean, they have a team usually that's built around the home run ball. And then next weekend we're on the road at Florida. Florida has split the first two games in Baton Rouge this weekend. LSU won on Friday, and then yesterday Florida won in extra innings. I think they went 11 or 13 innings in the game yesterday, and Florida won, I know, 6-4. They got the Ackenhausen late in that game. And so Florida has a big game later today down at LSU.
Did you see the guy get tossed for Georgia?
I did not.
So he hits the game-winning grand slam in game one, throws his helmet up in the air, celebrates a little bit as he's running the bases, gets thrown out, and doesn't get to play game two.
Oh, wow.
And it was such that even your guys like a Mike Rooney and these guys were basically saying, what are we doing? You know, it's one thing to be
– It's one thing to throw the helmet at the dugout, at the opposing team dugout. It's another thing to throw it in the air.
Well, it's another thing to do it in the second inning. It's another to hit a walk-off grand slam and us have to pretend it didn't happen. Now, that being said, let me – again, the umpires are just calling it the way they've been told. This is a rules committee decision, not an umpire decision. So a lot of people are talking about the umpires – that part is one that's just being put on them.
Yeah. And we saw it that first weekend, that dude out at Hawaii getting tossed against Ole Miss in the opening weekend of the season. So you're seeing more and more of that. Now, we did have some chippiness at the ballpark yesterday. I saw where Jim Schlossnagel said after the game that Justin Parker thought that A&M had our signs, and that kind of started a little brouhaha from the dugout out there in the seventh inning, and both teams had to be – seems like everybody's getting warned every single game right now. So the umpires just need to come out in the first inning and just warn everybody because everybody's running their mouths right now.
Well, if somebody had warned a certain player for Auburn, they might still be playing today.
Probably so.
All right, around the league right now, because it's always easy to focus in on where you are, but one of the things that you do is have to put it in perspective. Kentucky, keep in mind that we're kind of ahead. We've played our six games. Not everybody else has. The best record in SEC right now is Arkansas at 5-1.
And, hey, they're pretty good. We talk about our schedule. I mean, you look around the league. I mean, we were like, man, you got LSU to start the season, then on the road against A&M, on the road against Florida. You start thinking about everybody else too. I mean, LSU had us on the road, then they got Florida, and then they got Tennessee. I mean, they got a brutal schedule. Auburn's got a brutal schedule. They played at Vandy, got Arkansas at home. Man, Arkansas pitching looks really, really good.
Well, Hagan Smith is just he's incredible. So Arkansas is 5-1. Kentucky is 4-1, and then there are a whole bunch of teams with 2 and 3 losses. Florida with 2, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, all 3-2. Ole Miss is 3-2. A&M, Mississippi State are sitting here at 3-3. Right now, Auburn has been the team that's probably, well, they've struggled. They're 1-5, Missouri 1-4. But this thing's got a lot of sorting out to do, and there's a lot of games to be played later today. Kentucky and Missouri are playing. Alabama and Georgia, Ole Miss and Tennessee, Vanderbilt, South Carolina and Florida, and LSU. That will be an interesting game to catch later today, that Florida and LSU game. Of course, you and I are going to be watching Mississippi State. We're not just going to be watching. We're going to be discussing Mississippi State women's basketball playing TCU.
The Horned Frogs, man.
So as I appreciated, if Mississippi State wins today, the question of where and when they play depends on what happens with Penn State.
Yeah, Penn State's playing in the other semifinal in this bracket, and they are the one seed. If Penn State were to win and we win, we would go to Penn State. Should we win and Penn State loses, then we would play this game here. Now, should we lose and then Penn State loses, I don't care. I don't care who hosts the next round. This is the WBIT.
And what does that stand for?
I guess Women's Basketball Invitational Tournament. Now, the difference is, you know, you used to have the old WNIT, and the WNIT is owned by the Gazelle Group or one of these third parties or whatever. Well, the NCAA, because the NCAA bought the rights to the NIT a couple years ago, they bought the rights essentially to have the secondary tournament. But the WNIT wanted to stay in existence. So the NCAA says, hey, that's fine. Y'all can have the WNIT, but we're going to have our own deal. And so the WBIT is the first teams out of the NCAA tournament. And then after the WBIT, they still have the WNIT, which is 48 teams. Charlie, it's hard to not get a postseason bid now in women's basketball, okay?
Well, the other game that we were talking about, the Penn State game, they host Belmont, but that game not till tomorrow.
Oh, really?
So Mississippi State, should they win?
Would not know until tomorrow night.
And they should win, by the way. TCU, not great. TCU's a team that's had a lot of injuries this year.
At one time, they didn't play like a couple games in there, didn't they?
Yeah, they had like – they're putting out ads.
Yeah.
Not a joke. I mean, like
– like Mike Leach wanted to do with kickers. I mean, they were doing that with point guards.
Yeah, like
– right, we need some guards.
Can you dribble?
Yeah. Did you play?
Come on over.
Yeah. Just send in your resume.
All right, so baseball right now, the thing that I want to watch going forward is what's going to happen in the middle infield.
Yes.
Because Mershon's playing a pretty good shortstop, and I think you add hitting to your lineup in a league. You know, Kyle, we're talking about basketball. It's changed. You got to be able to score. Kind of baseball, man, need to hit.
Yeah, you really do. Got to hit, got to do them both. And what we talked about last week, having Imani Larry in the game at second base opens up that DH spot and allows you to do some more things down at the bottom of your order with that DH spot.
So right now, Dakota Jordan, still your leading hitter at 380, but Hunter Hines has brought his average up to over 300. He's at 302. Hizak, how about this? Connor Hizak, the guy who had to take a seat to start a couple of games because he wasn't hitting. Connor Hyzak now second on the team, hitting .361. That's where he and Mershon both stand. And so those the four guys hitting over .300. Here was the thing that was of some interest to me as I pulled everything up. And I looked only at the conference statistics. So this is just in league games. And because the number of games played is different, I'm not going to give you raw totals in terms of who has the most home runs. It doesn't matter. But averages are somewhat revealing. Right now, there are only two teams in this league, and again, it's five and six conference games, but only two teams hitting over 300. Vanderbilt's at 321, Kentucky's at 317, and we're third hitting .293.
Really?
So in terms of batting average right now, we are third in terms of SEC play games. In terms of ERA, we are eighth in the league in ERA. And you can say, well, man, eighth doesn't sound that great, except that we've been like 14th.
Like, by a lot.
Yeah, like we weren't in the
And there was a chasm between 13 and 14.
And the team that is falling in that spot right now, interestingly enough, is Georgia. Georgia right now, so our ERA is 5.4. And to give you an idea, Tennessee is just ahead of us at 5.27, South Carolina at 5.23. Georgia, 10.12. So whatever magic Wes Johnson supposedly has in pitching, it hasn't shown up through five games.
He'll get them turned around, man. He'll get them turned around.
Mm-hmm.
And all the physical therapists around there get their lives turned around as well.
I was going to say.
And
how about this? I got to give you this one. The number one team in SEC play in terms of fielding percentage, Mississippi State.
What?
We are fielding it at .995. We have led the league in double plays turned.
Now, I will say this. They gave A&M a couple hits yesterday or this weekend where we kind of misplayed some fly balls and should have made some catches in the outfield.
Well, I can't rule out bad scorekeeping.
And we have – we're going to be fine. And that costs us some runs. And so, that being said, I think we're going to have a pretty good outfield defense this year. And I don't think that's going to be a lingering problem at all. One was going toward the fence. Dakota was going toward the fence yesterday. And so you got the fence, you got the everything. And that's that short fence out in the bullpen and right field. So you're trying to worry about not you're breaking your neck falling over that. And so you got all that working on. And hits, ball hits off the end of your glove. Hyzak had a little bit of a drop out in center field the other day. And we know how good of a center fielder he is. And so going back to your point, yeah, you can't take into effect scorekeeping there.
So we'll see. We're not. We're certainly not a perfect baseball team, but we're a better baseball team.
Oh, yeah, we're a lot better
now,
baseball.
Now, you know what the cynic would say? You know what you did against these two teams last year? You went 3-3.
Against A&M and LSU. Flipped it. We played A&M at home. We played LSU on the road. That was kind of an anomaly weekend last year. You know, we got beaten by 10-run rule on Friday night against Skeens, and then we bounced back and won Saturday and Sunday down in Baton Rouge last year. Hey, we're also brought to you by our friends at Heartland Catfish. Heartland producing the finest U.S. farm-raised catfish you can possibly want. It all starts in their ponds in the Itabena area in Mississippi, just west of Greenwood. And then it ends up on your plate, and it is fantastic. They serve it at great restaurants around the Southeast, and one of those great restaurants, Legend Steakhouse up in Tennessee. You've got Columbia, Tennessee. They're in Florence, Alabama, Pulaski, Shelbyville, and then Smyrna, Tennessee as well. So in the Nashville area, our good friends at Legends Steakhouse, and they feed you that great catfish that they get from our friends at Heartland Catfish. All right, Charlie, anything else for the good of the cause before we head to the hump and we talk about women's basketball?
No, that's it for me.
Okay, that's about all I got, too. Hey, I went to see Zach Bryan the other night. The big difference is Zach Brown.
Intentionally?
You don't like Zach Bryan?
Isn't he just kind of one of the latest group of let's act like we're country singers?
No, he's actually good. And I got the tickets. Okay, so, yeah, I'm drinking my coffee this morning out of the mug that says Perry, Winfield, and Wolf, okay? And the Wolf portion of that was our good friend Joy Graves. You know, Joy used to be my neighbor. And, of course, you know, Lawson, her husband, is one of the finest dudes in Starkville, without doubt. So I got the tickets for Joy. And so we went to see Zach Bryan. And, Charlie, we ended up on the floor, and I didn't realize until we got there they actually didn't have chairs on the floor. It was like standing, and that was it. It was like the pit. And I took Sims over, And so for 6 hours, we stood in the same spot. But we had good seats, man. It was great. Well, not really seats. We had a good area. It was a good concert, man. Enjoyed it. It's kind of like your Turnpike Troubadours.
I would like to go see the Turnpike Troubadours.
And I tried to get you to go to Red Rocks. They're in Red Rocks in a couple of weeks.
Well, that's not exactly like going to Sturgis or anything.
Well, I mean, you run up to Memphis, man. They got plenty of direct flights to Denver. It's like a 3-hour trip. It's like going to the coast.
Yeah. Nothing to it.
No, nothing to it.
Nope, I'm going to be grounded here in Starkville for a little while. Although I am going to mix in before long a little trip up to my favorite place in Western North Carolina.
What's the name of that place?
Hot Springs, North Carolina, a little town in Madison County. The Appalachian Trail.
It's a little bit bigger than Oxpater. River.
It is Noxipater, except that it has mountains, a river in the Appalachian Trail, a brewery, and 3 or 4 good restaurants.
So it's close.
Very similar.
They don't have a Woody's.
They do not have a Woody's, in fact. They only have a Hillbilly Market. And at the Hillbilly Market, you cannot get Strange Brew Coffee.
Well, you can get Strange Brew Coffee with our good friends at Woody's. All right, hey, women's basketball later today. We'll be back in the midweek. We got baseball Tuesday on the road at Samford, and then on the road next weekend against the Florida Gators. Hey, appreciate you guys hanging out with us here on Sunday Coffee on the Out of Left Field channel.
There you go.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us.